Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me to introduce you to the University of the Poor, as I was introduced to it. I was part of a group of seminarians, and we were in a classroom in Morningside Heights in New York City. And we were sitting with the university's leader. His name was Willie Baptist, and a few others. And we were learning of their mission and work. I happened to be sitting next to a formerly homeless man who is now a university instructor. As the man talked, I confess that I felt noble sitting there. Broad-minded, righteous even, part of the, quote, growing movement to end poverty. It wasn't until I began unwrapping my turkey sandwich, the one that was in my box lunch, that this same man sitting next to me revealed to the group that he had autoimmune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. And I immediately felt my body squeezing in upon itself. I felt my face flushing. I felt my skull getting hot under the skin. I felt my scalp itching. And I had one of those moments. One of those moments when all your senses start to zero in at one point in space and time. All of my senses were concentrating with pinpoint accuracy on one tiny detail in front of me. The two bottles of water sitting on the table. Both of them were open. One of them was mine, and I could not, for the life of me, remember which one. I mention all this because as much as we think we know about leprosy and what it was like in the ancient world to deal with a disease that had no cure, and all the social stratifications that would happen because of it, we still, in our heart of hearts, I think, we still distance ourselves from it. And we cling to the belief, even if we never say it out loud, that modern medicine, thank God, has taken care of that for us. And we're grateful that we don't have to worry about that anymore. Whatever that is. And we forget, perhaps subconsciously, perhaps intentionally, that there still are diseases that have no cure. Diseases that leave welts and lesions and tumors. Diseases that can tear, literally tear a body apart. Diseases that lead to a torturous, painful death. And if I might take it a step further, we distance ourselves from the kind of salvation that enters into a world like this. We spiritualize it. We abstract it. We otherworld it. And we forget that if the story of Elisha and Naaman has anything to tell us at all, it is telling us something very important about God and how God chooses to make salvation happen in the world. God saves by saving us whole, body and soul, flesh and spirit, and God will spill out every drop of his own blood, sweat, and tears, if that is what it will take. That is what it will take, by the way. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about some miracle cure, some send in your $100 and you'll walk again kind of salvation. Matter of fact, those kinds of salvations do just as much to distance ourselves from God's kind of salvation as the pie in the sky ones do. Nevertheless, it is too easy to forget. And that little Israelite slave girl and Naaman and Elisha won't let us forget that God's kind of salvation is full-bodied. That God saves us by saving us whole and complete. And he does it by bridging all of these gaps, these distances between us and our dread diseases. The little slave girl knows that better than all, because she is the one who crosses the first gap. She crosses the first line. Because she was fearless enough to cross the line that forbids a slave from talking to a master as if they were equals. Elisha himself crossed the second line, the one that said a man of the cloth can't interfere with international diplomacy. But the third line was the hardest of all, and it belonged to Naaman alone. And that line that he crossed was twofold. First, it was to believe a word that seemed too simple, too mundane to be believed. Second, to do what that word invited him to do. And then, only then, do we come to the beautiful line. The beautiful line that comes to us so simply, so matter-of-factly. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Of course, anyone who has read Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism shouldn't be surprised to see that simple water could do such things. Simple water laced with a word from God. To see this water overflow all these lines, to touch the brow of one deemed untouchable, to cure the body of one deemed uncurable, to cleanse the soul of one deemed uncleansable. It shouldn't surprise us that simple water could do such things. It shouldn't surprise us when this same water overflows us, body and soul, and overflows us with a deep and holy fearlessness. The holy fearlessness of a little child, that we find ourselves crossing the lines that divide body from soul, that we find ourselves crossing the lines that divide people from their own personhood, even the lines that can divide one man from the man sitting right next to him. And that we find ourselves cleansed and restored by the encounter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.